You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. And you are all welcome to Dynamo's Dozen. Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to your favorite podcast with me, your host, Ian, the Dynamo Kelly. And first of all, I want to thank each and every one of you once again for your feedback and support on this podcast, because let's face it, guys and gals, without you, we don't have a show. But this week, we have some recordings of an interview slash debate that I conducted last week with Kigo and Ted, which was based on the modern wrestling fan and how wrestling fans act at local wrestling shows, and I guess shows in general, really. It was something that we had talked about. I put it out to each and every one of you to come on the show. Some of the feedback was positive, some not so much. I understand that. That's fine. Not everybody wants to come on a show and debate. But we had Ted step up and talk about his experience at wrestling shows. And I guess being that this podcast is based in Ireland, and Ireland's own OTT wrestling is one of the biggest and hottest promotions around Europe, and I guess even the world at this stage, a lot of talk was based around them shows from the experience and perspective of Ted, Kigo and myself, having attended many of said shows. Now, first and foremost, guys and girls, I want to make clear that the conversations are coming from an angle where a lot of Kigo's opinions, and even mine to an extent, are based on the characters that some of the workers are portraying, and then in turn, the type of support that they receive from fans. So at no point and in no way is there anybody out there being blasted or buried on a personal or even professional level. I just want to make that very clear to anybody that wants to create fake heat and a non-story. So I am very sorry to disappoint all the shit stirrers of the internet land out there. Anywho, all of that is to come, but first I want to address our amazing sponsors at Wrestling Mania, and I want to address all of you wonderful guys and gals and how this can benefit you. Are you a fan of wrestling merch? Do you like to wear the latest WWE and UFC shirts? Well, if you're in Ireland, there's only one place to go for all of your wrestling and MMA needs: Wrestling Mania. That's right, Wrestling Mania, located on the top floor of St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre in the heart of Dublin's Fair City, is the only place you need to go. Wrestling Mania has everything you need, from t-shirts, hoodies, hats, wristbands, mugs, pendants, and everything in between. And if you're like me, a fan of wrestling history and memorabilia, then you never know what you may find. From action figures, huge back catalogs of books, magazines, DVDs, and all kinds of retro items. Shop for brands like WWE, Tap Out, UFC, Ring of Honor, AEW, and much, much more. And much more than that, Wrestling Mania is a family-run business and Ireland's oldest wrestling shop that has seen superstars such as Bret the Hitman Hart, Chris Jericho, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch, Dana White, and many, many more pass through its doors. So why not get down to Wrestling Mania today? You never, ever know what you may find. But get this, if you need a purchase coming up to the holiday season and can't make it to the store, don't worry. They've got you covered. Wrestling Mania will deliver directly to your doorstep. And if you can make it to the store, today, Wrestling Mania will give you 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. That's right. For listening to Dynamo's Dozen, you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. What do I have to do, you say? Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. All you need to do is join the mailing list. Leave your name at dynamosdozen@gmail.com. Send me an email with your name. Hashtag wrestling store, hashtag dynamosdozen. That is it. And you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. For more information, once again, go to dynamosdozen@gmail.com to be on the mailing list, or go to Wrestling Mania Facebook page on the latest news and arrivals. Get down to Wrestling Mania today. And another added bonus, if you join the mailing list now, anybody that joins within the next 2 weeks will have their name in a hat to win a free Dynamo's Dozen mug that you've seen exclusively on the Facebook Dynamo's Dozen page. Once again, just send your name in an email with hashtag Dynamo's Dozen to dynamosdozen@gmail.com. That's dynamosdozen@gmail.com. Do it today, because coffee tastes better with Dynamo's Dozen. But before I get into the rest of today's show, it's now time for Dynamo's Song of the Week. And you all loved this song so much last week that we're going to play it again. This is the first single from their comeback album, Mourn the Southern Skies. This is the badass band, Exhorter, with My Time. So this week, while my co-host Dara is over enjoying his holiday with his better half in the US of A, I will be flying solo today, and there's a couple of things that I would like to touch on while I sit here on a rainy Wednesday night in the Castillo de Dynamo. The first being a poll that I put out on Dynamo's Dozen's Facebook page last week. Basically, what was put out there was, I asked, what has been your favorite show so far between NXT and AEW Dynamite? So, thank you all, because we had over 100 votes, with the winner being WWE NXT coming in at 56% of the votes to AEW Dynamite's 44%. So it was close enough. And once again, I want to thank everyone who voted, because I myself have taken a keen interest in all of the shows that wrestling has to offer between WWE, AEW, and NWA. For me, so far, my favorite show without a doubt is NWA Power. I've said it before, it's different. It has some slow stories building each week that are actually going somewhere. The presentation is obviously not new, but it is most definitely been refreshed, polished, and modernized, and packaged together beautifully. Everything from the open of the show, showing fan videos and tweets, without a doubt the best music intro anywhere, docking into the fire. I love the commentary, the announcing, the promos, but most importantly, what I love is the work. The matches have small time limits, in most cases 10 minutes. Everybody looks like they're a wrestler. There's a perfect balance of tradition, intensity, comedy, a new school, lots of different body types, characters. The female workers are great. So the key is great balance. And like the great Mr. Miyagi said, you gotta have balance. So for anybody out there that has not seen NWA Power yet, get your ass on YouTube and watch it right now, because it drops every Tuesday on YouTube and Facebook. They're all there for your viewing pleasure. So get on that and check it out right now. I'll start with maybe AEW Dynamite. What I've seen so far from AEW has been mixed, if I am being honest. My opinion, to start with, the look and presentation, I've got to say, from that side is absolutely phenomenal. It has a modern feel, but also at times it reminds me of an old school Nitro, which for me is a good thing because I'm a big fan. And I know a lot of old nostalgic wrestling fans like myself feel the same way. It feels big. It has a big production feel. They put great effort into making the product look really good, from a visual standpoint. It's in big arenas. I love the lighting and the colors, and I especially love their video packages building up matches coming up to the show. That's going to be coming up later on the show, should I say. Tony Khan, in fairness, has stuck to his word and put a very heavy emphasis on the win-loss records. So far, for me, I'm not 100% sure where they lead to and what they mean, but obviously there is a plan in place for them to have a heavy bearing on matchups and matching up people for titles, etc., etc. I love the time limits. Always been a big fan of time limits. Again, it's the tradition standpoint. I love it. You got to try and beat your opponent within a certain time frame. Isn't that what it's all about? Otherwise, it's just a fucking free-for-all. The commentary team is fantastic. I think it's great to see JR back on play-by-play full-time, and it's great to hear his voice open in the show again. You can tell that he's enthusiastic about it. He's enjoying it. You can see his interaction on social media and Twitter and his own podcast. He's really loving it, and he's very honest about it too. He's very honest about the product, that it's new, and that they've got to improve on certain things, but there's definitely, he's aware of the potential also. So it's great to hear JR, joined by one of my favorite commentators in Tony Schiavone, again, the voice of WCW Nitro, and it's great to see Tony back in the business. And then, of course, the masked Excalibur. I don't really care that he wears a mask or not. Initially, I did. I know some people hate it, some people, whatever. At the end of the day, you're not looking at the guy for the whole time. So the three-man team are definitely building a nice chemistry and a rapport with each other, I feel. With Tony taking a backseat in play-by-play and kind of filling the role almost like Bobby Heenan had on Nitro, actually, without so much, obviously, heel work in his colour, I guess. But definitely, in a way, he reminds me kind of he's fitting into that Bobby Heenan role. And I got to say, I really do love when Tony comes in and interviews the guys, you know, before or after the matches as well. Again, it's old school. It keeps the story in the arena without too much backstage stuff like WWE has. It keeps everything in the arena. It keeps the eyes on the visual product in the arena. And it keeps the fans in the arena happy too and making them feel like they're part of it. And Excalibur, he kind of reminds me a lot of the Professor Mike Tenay. He breaks down a lot of the moves, having been a worker himself. He's great at that kind of stuff. He's really good at kind of putting some meaning behind some of the moves and some of the newer kind of newer and younger workers that are in there that maybe people aren't familiar with. He's got a good knowledge of the holds and stuff, so he's able to break that down. So I think he's doing a great job, and getting better each week. And I think they, like the show, are a work in progress, but I definitely think Excalibur in particular can only get better working with JR and Tony Schiavone. To start with the negatives, there's always got to be a negative. It's not going to be a rant, it's just going to be more a couple of points. The negatives would lead me to some of the in-ring work and matchmaking in particular. There's been a heavy emphasis on tag team wrestling thus far, which I have zero, and I mean zero, problem with. But my big problem is the amount of false finishes, the ridiculous hot tags that make no sense, the length of some of the matches, they go on way too long. You've got, you know, guys kicking out of big time impact moves that would put that would put guys even the same size away. Another point is the likes of a bit like on that point, I guess, a bigger wrestler selling for someone like a Marco Stunt. I mean, what the fuck? That doesn't make sense in any way, shape, or form. So what the actual fuck on that one? The one thing that we still need in wrestling is for it to make sense. It's got to make sense, guys, to the listener. Otherwise, you're insulting the intelligence of the viewer. You're insulting the intelligence of, you know, knowledgeable wrestling fans, and you're insulting the intelligence of a lot of wrestlers that have come before that are rooting for the product and want to get behind these new guys. I have at least three legends that I've talked to on this show before. I won't tell exactly who, that just are so perplexed by this. So, no, it doesn't make sense, and it should make some sense. I'm not saying ban comedy wrestling like we should like ban the church, you know. It's just got to make a little bit of sense, man, and it's got to be for the right reasons also. You know, someone like I don't know, any of the big tag team guys. There's a lot of big guys in the tag teams. Pentagon, you know, selling for Marco Stunt, and Marco Stunt kicking out of big time impact moves from Pentagon Jr. just doesn't make sense to me. It's never gonna make sense to me. So you can shit all over my opinion all you want, but I'm right, and you're wrong. So there you go. So we need it to make sense, guys and girls, all joking aside. And then, you know, you get a guy with two hands tied behind his back, getting some good offense in on, you know, a top star and world heavyweight champion like Chris Jericho. Again, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Well, this isn't like the end of the world. There's plenty of good enough talent out there to be put over without this kind of narrative of, you know, everybody can take part and everyone should take part and let's keep everybody pleased. At the end of the day, guys, it's a business, it's a product, it's got to be done right. I would like to see more promos from some of the workers that we're not familiar with, so that we can relate to some of them a little bit better, because at the moment we know nothing about a lot of them. Who are they? Why are they? What makes them tick? basic storytelling, guys and girls. I think the work going into Jericho and Cody is absolutely outstanding. I gotta say that. I'm a big fan of the likes of Hangman Page and Sammy Guevara. I'm seeing a lot of character in Sammy Guevara, and he's getting himself over just purely by body language and movement. I think I heard JR say that he reminds him a lot of a young Eddie Guerrero. I can see that. I can agree to that. For me, Hangman Page is another guy that I see a lot of potential in. I think Hangman Page is a big enough character that now we need to start getting to know who Hangman Page is as a character. Oh, why is he a cowboy? I mean, he was a school teacher cowboy. That's all I really know. I want to know more. And the casual viewer wants to know more. The new viewer wants to know more. The people that are in the arena that have been following the indie scene that knows a lot of these guys and girls may know everything about them. But again, guys, you're not pandering to that audience only anymore. You're trying to get this over on TNT on an international level. Let the people at home that know nothing about this know who these guys and girls are. It's something easily that can be worked on, to be honest with you. All in all, I'm liking a lot of what AEW is doing. And it is new, and they are just finding their feet, so let's give them time. I'm willing to do that anyway. So far, so good, and definitely potential for big things, I think. Moving on to NXT. NXT is definitely a little darker and looks lower budget, in my opinion, from a visual standpoint, because it looks like it's in a smaller hall. And I just purely mean that from the arena perspective. Their video package, you know, it's WWE, so it's always going to be good. There's not a lot of color. It's very dark sometimes. Spotlight is actually going off the wrestlers' faces, i.e. last week, Finn Balor, when he was outside, the spotlight was trying to find him, and I found that a bit weird. But all in all, it's not a big thing. And then again, you know, it does look different, so there is that. And I'm always saying, let's have something different. I've always been a fan of the small, smoky arena too, with the lights just on the ring also. So I can see that working. I'm kind of contradicting myself, but you get my point. As far as the work in NXT goes, I don't think there's any comparison between the two companies. With Balor back, with the real rock and roller attitude, I see him getting back to the top of the food chain and becoming recognized again as one of the best in the business. He always was, he always will be, but I think the recognition side of it, it's a big thing for him now. I love seeing the NXT takeover of SmackDown. And that match between, you know, Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan was absolutely phenomenal. It's like football. If you bleed the Ute right, you've always got a chance bringing in different ideas into the equation, you know. So I really, really like that. So far, so good for wrestling this past month. And I'll be doing a full show on Dynamo's Half Dozen with Ted next week. So go to Dynamo's Half Dozen. Check us out on Facebook as well, on the Facebook page. Also available on Spotify, on Anchor, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher. Available everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. So Dynamo's Half Dozen will be good. That will be returning on a weekly basis as well next week. And we're going to do a full breakdown and go into detail on the past few months of AEW, NWA, WWE SmackDown, WWE Raw, and NXT, and we'll have some fun with that. But now, guys, it is time to go on to a debate that took place last week between Ted and Kigo regarding wrestling fans. Available now for your listening pleasure. Get it in your ear holes. Never forget the talc, and always remember the dynamo. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy. But now I do have my trusty co-host from Dynamo's Half Dozen, where we usually kind of review old school shows and stuff like that. He's a provocateur of you know, pro wrestling shows within Ireland. Also a big fan of wrestling, would know most of the shows from start to finish, from AEW, Raw, SmackDown, whatnot. However, long story short, Kigo and Ted, Kigo doesn't agree with some of the antics. Well, no, most of the 90% I agree is what I hear. 90% of wrestling fans are mongs. That's the words. And because of their antics at wrestling shows, it ruins it for other people. They think they know too much. Ted, what say you, sir?
I agree with him on some points that I've heard him make. Disagree with him on others.
This is a good start. This is a good start.
You know, not everyone that goes to the shows are, you know, mongs, I suppose, but if you did were.
We need to get a t-shirt made, but yeah, we need to get a t-shirt made.
I can't say they all are, because otherwise I'd be saying I am. That's a definite no. But no, I can agree that certain, like, there has been, especially some OTT shows, and it's been talked about before, certain chants that were made that are just unacceptable, really.
Yep.
Can you give me a good example there, Ted, of, like, some of the stuff, say? Because you're somebody that would, would be pretty much in the heart of the action a lot of times in an OTT environment. We'll just use OTT as one of the, like, as one of the top independent promotions. You know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the stuff that I've noticed is mainly kind of during, but, well, I say notice it. I don't notice it that often. It's happened once or twice in the past and hasn't happened since, but tends to be when the female talent is on show. I think we all know what sort of abuse they're getting from certain fans, and thankfully it doesn't happen often enough, and it has been stamped out. I haven't heard it at an OTT show in a long, long time.
Great to hear.
Very good to hear. And in fairness, it
wasn't. Well, the thing, the suggestion I would make at that is, it shows the mental faculties of the a lot. Now, if you're saying it doesn't happen now, that's fantastic. It's kind of policed itself, which is really important. But it also shows the ability to interact with other human beings that is currently going to. And we concentrate with OTT because that's the biggest dog in the yard, the biggest show going. And the fact that it's been policed is a great thing. And the fact that there are hardcore fans is beautiful. But the reason I don't go to OTT shows and I watch whatever it is, OTTOnDemand.com, go check it out, is because of the interactions I've had with OTT fans online. So I can only imagine if I was a business saying, I want to throw money at this brand that is drawing more people than The Frames, than Aslan or whatever.
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah,
you're still here. Yeah,
sorry. They're drawing more people in, which means there's more money that can be spent by that crowd. The reason why they're not, and this is a theory, and again, we'll call people mongs again in a second.
Hashtag mongs.
My theory is that the interactions that I've had with OTT fans online will be quite similar to the chants you heard back in, not that far ago, not that long ago. And I think that there's no, when I say mongs, I think usually people say the majority is 60%, 51%. I'm saying that 90% of the interactions I've had with OTT fans has been horrific. I do not like it when a fan of anything, whether it's wrestling, music, film, makes it about them and not the people who are actually doing the work. It should be going from the center of the arena or the building outwards, not from outwards in. And this is only an old man's opinion, but it's quite annoying when people slap mats. People make their own sections and their posters are about them and not about the people in the ring. It's stuff like that that really winds me up, and people's self-inflated or their inflated opinions of what they think is more important than the actual work and the event and the show and the joy you should be getting. And then after the match, part of the problem is in the ring afterwards, when people start shaking hands, hugging and kissing afterwards, that'd be like when Hans Gruber falls off the Nakatomi Plaza, he gets up and Brucey Willis in his tank top gives him a big hug and a big kiss and says, that was a great performance. Part of what I'm saying is, Kigo, you're an old man, but the principles still remain. You're going to see a show. You're not going to be the show.
I agree.
So, Ted, and you're there. You're in the building. I have been told on good authority that you're not a Hmong.
Yeah.
So I salute you for that. You've spoken about the chance towards women. What about the people who slap the mask, people who start chants that are about them? Do you see that happening a lot at OTT shows?
Mask slapping, yes. You see quite a lot of that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm kind of 50-50 on that, because at certain points I think it does add something.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when Jordan beat Walter for the OTT title, I think if you have something at the end of that, it shows an outpouring of emotion. It shows, you know, that everyone has enjoyed that and that they've gotten involved. And I think that's
100%.
Okay.
Yep, I'm in there
that's
with you. Yep.
It's a one-off occasion. It's perfectly fine there. Where I find there to be some slight issues is when it happens every match or every other match.
Ted, I thought we were going to have fights on this. I thought we were going to disagree. I thought we were going to go back and forth and start slagging each other. I agree 100% with everything you said. Can't argue it.
Yeah, so like I do think that is people taking, a liberty is the wrong way to say it, but it is people trying to get themselves more involved in the show than they should.
Yep.
But at the same time, there is other things that I think are okay, and then other things that I don't think are okay. And as you said, there's certain chants that people kind of use more to get themselves over rather than the talent. And one of the big ones, and it's not just OTT that you hear it, but "you fucked up."
Yeah.
What a shit chant to make
someone. Oh man, I hate that one.
Yeah, and the easy reply and the easy rebuttal to that is, you know, they literally wouldn't last 5 minutes in a training session.
No, not at all.
From your first training session all the way up to putting a show on in front of 2,200 people over the weekend, for them to think that just because they bought a ticket, they can turn around and say, "you fucked up." They wouldn't say it to the person's face,
nope. Man
or woman. They wouldn't say it to the performer's face, and they'll only say it online. So these are the interactions I'm talking about. I know it started with ECW. Another match slap being started in Germany, and because they had no barriers, they were automatically closer and
sure. Things
like that.
Sure.
It's a reaction. It's a reactive measure. It's not a proactive. They're doing it because they saw it on TV or they heard it on TV. Sorry, there's a question mark at the end of this. That shows that they have an inability to think for themselves. And I say they because I'm not, after our brief interactions, Ted, I'm not grouping you in with the Hmongs. They have an inability to act and think for themselves. So they're following whatever has happened on whatever they've watched most recently. And they bring that into their online interactions with people where they think they can say anything. And there's no consequences. Luckily, up to this point, I haven't had that kind of interaction with people. I just block people who are idiots. And I'm sure I am blocked by a million people because I'm an idiot. But it's the inability to interact in real life. And I was saying to Ian just before we started talking to you, they're going to say this in real life to their boss, to a policeman or woman or police person. They're going to say it to someone and they're going to get hurt and they're going to wonder why. And I think it all comes back to this little weird wrestling bubble that we're living in. And you're sitting right in the middle of it, and we've agreed with a lot of what's going on. But let's talk about let's make it all about me.
It is your show.
What have I said that has annoyed you, Ted?
Well, one of them was the wrestling t-shirts that you brought up. People shouldn't wear these wrestling t-shirts.
With the Bailey,
and now
Bailey
I do,
comment, yeah? It was the all right, just to go back on, because I have quotes here. I'm the host. So in fairness, one of the things that bothered you, Ted, and then one of the things that Kigo you said was grown men wearing Hug Me Bailey t-shirts, which you know,
yes, That is creepy.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but like, it's not T-shirts. It's not the act of buying a wrestler's T-shirt. It's not anything like that. Like, everyone who goes to OTT or Phoenix or Fight Factory or whatever shouldn't leave without buying at least one T-shirt.
Well, let's let Ted kind of get his kind of his bit in there, yeah, so cool. he can kind of, you know.
I'm jumping in. I haven't had any food, so I'm jumping in.
No, it's fine.
No, I do agree with Hugo, but you know, if you go to a show, maybe not every time, you know, shows can be expensive. You might not have the money to buy a T-shirt or buy whatever. But, you know, if you've enjoyed a show and you enjoy a specific wrestler, I do think you should be buying T-shirt or merchandise. It's not really a T-shirt. It can be a picture. It can be whatever off them when you can. But, like, something similar to, like, Bailey's Hug Me T-shirt, which would be the main one.
Yeah.
That's the T-shirt that was available for her. If you want to support her, that's the T-shirt you buy. And if you're wearing that to a wrestling show, I think that's, you know, that's what it's for. That's why you bought it. Wearing it outside of a wrestling show, I don't personally have any issue with that. You know, it just lets people know that you're a fan or whatever. But I don't see any particular reason why you shouldn't buy any T-shirt, to be honest. If you like it, like, if you don't like the design, then obviously don't fucking buy it. But
I'm with you on a lot of this journey, Ted, and it's great that we're actually been able to talk and not shout at each other. I just think it was that T-shirt in particular. You know, for me as a grown man, if I saw another grown man wearing a purple T-shirt with Hugger written on it. Now, I don't know if it's a wrestling shirt. I don't know if it's a lifestyle shirt. I don't know if it's a club he's in. I don't know anything about him. I just know that it's a grown man with a purple shirt that says Hugger or whatever in big yellow writing. Now, I'm not saying don't buy Bailey's shirt. I'm just saying that maybe just think a little bit about how creepy it is as a grown man who, especially with that character at that time, was aimed at kids. And so it's great. Okay, we're all emotionally challenged and emotionally stunted and all that sort of stuff.
Bro,
that's why we
watch
wrestling.
Speak for yourself.
But it's just, if I was to walk down Grafton Street with a purple T-shirt, aside from the fact that the way I look is the way I look, if I was to walk down the road with a purple shirt that says Hugger on it, I would probably be arrested by the time I get to the end of Grafton Street because it's inappropriate. And that's just my opinion as an old man. But all, like, you look at Bullet Club, you look at NWO, you look at Steve Austin shirts, you look at The Rock, you can wear them anywhere. You can do anything like that. It's just a weird thing for a grown man to wear.
Yeah, but is that... That's because of people's perception of what a man should and shouldn't wear. Like, you said it's weird for a grown man to wear. Would it be weird for a grown woman to wear it, or is it weird for, say, a 14 or 15 year old boy to wear it? You know, that's more to do with perception rather than whether it's creepy or not.
Well, that's true, and absolutely. If I'm walking down the road wearing a Hugger T-shirt, it's a lot creepier than a 14-year-old girl walking down with it. So, you know, life is different for men than women, and that's kind of what I'm getting at here. You know, generally, if a woman is wearing that, it's a bit like wearing tracksuit bottoms with Juicy on the arse. I can't wear that, not that I would. I can't get my size, but that's a separate issue for a separate podcast. But you know what I mean? It's all relative to what we're doing. And I just think that there are too many, and again, we're going back to the kind of self-policing of the bad chance, which is beautiful. But I think there's not enough of, look, at the end of the day, if we cut through being nice about all this stuff, I'm a grown human male. I should not be, if I have as many of my faculties intact as I should at the age that I am, I shouldn't be finding, as we were talking before you got on, redeemable quality in a character back in the day like Bailey, who is aimed at kids, this is not Steve Austin, who is aimed at a certain community, this is not The Rock, this is not Triple H, this is someone who is aimed at kids, squarely, properly, and obviously. And when I was to look at that and say, I'm going to buy that purple shirt, that does paint a picture of me as a human when I am interacting in the real world. I get if you're going to a show and you buy a shirt and you wear the shirt to the show, it's a bit like wearing an Ireland jersey to an Ireland match. I get it. Slightly less offensive and all that. But you wear the shirt to the show, that's fine.
I'd be less embarrassed of wearing the Bailey shirt than the Irish shirt at the moment, to be honest. But yeah.
I wish I could argue. I really do wish I could argue. But
at what point do you think, like, so you said, like, if a young boy was wearing it, right? At what point does it become creepy for a male to wear a shirt like that, you know?
The answer is very simple. If I walked up to you, stood beside you at a bar wearing a purple shirt with yellow writing that says, I'm a hugger on it, you would think I'm a creep or weird.
Me, personally, I wouldn't, but that's
okay, because you know what it is, yeah.
It's because of that, but possibly because I just, like, I don't give a shit anyway.
Okay. Well, you're a good person. There's not a lot of people like that, like you out there, Ted.
As long as what you're wearing isn't, you know, directly offensive to somebody. And not like, just somebody who's decided to take issue with it, but, you know, if it's directly offensive, as in, like, you've got something, and it's a T-shirt that's against, like, people who are homosexual or transgender, if something like that, that's you're being openly offensive and trying to, then I think there's a problem. But
we're a long way from that. We're only in the creepy area at the moment, so we're not in the full on offensive thing here. Yeah, and obviously that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say that wrestling fans are offensive in any way. Obviously, there's some of their interactions with women at shows recently can be offensive.
But I don't think that's exclusive to wrestling fans either.
That's 100%. That was my next sentence.
Some of that
exactly
is just
that.
How you're raised and things like that.
100%. But you've said that you sat in OTT, and again, I watch. I don't go. And you've heard chants and you've heard things said that you know that people wouldn't say to the person. Does it have to go on for a certain amount of time before people say something, or is it just ignored in your experience?
No, OTT, it was very much dealt with quite quickly. I think it was set.
Okay.
I think it was done at one show. It was called out immediately.
Okay.
And it might have been done at one more show, but not directly after. And it seemed like it was new enough people at the show, because the fans then turned around and started chanting, "Shut the fuck up" to them, you know, to those people. Not to the performer, obviously.
Well, in a surprise to everyone, then I'll salute the OTT fans for doing that. That's a positive sign. That's important that they do that every single time. It's generally, unfortunately, it's going to be directed at women, because no one would say anything derogatory to any of the fellas, and paid off last weekend.
This would have been a long time ago. That was.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, and plans are the beauty of what you sit and watch every weekend, which is great, is that there are 100-year plans in place, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
nothing happens week to week, and that's the beauty of it, and that's why I'll sit and watch it. I'll pay for it. I don't pay for a lot of things in life, but I'll pay and sit down and watch it, because I know if I watch something properly that they're building, that Joe's building, and all, I hurt my toe there, dropping names, but if I watch carefully, there will be little Easter eggs all the way along in this story. And they built some of that in that match. And when people are going, "Kiss, kiss, kiss," they're just taking a shit on the work that the guys did. Now, I get it. Everyone wants to have a giggle. Everyone wants to have a laugh. Everyone wants to take it seriously or not take it seriously. But if you were to go and watch a play and there's a moment of tension, which is what that was, the face-off, knowing they knew they were going to face each other again, and they knew the stakes were going to get higher every single time.
And that's what it was.
And you're going kiss, kiss.
Yeah, in that one, it wasn't really. That would have been the first time David Starr was over, and he wasn't over again for a while after that. That was more just a match to have David Starr on the card. So maybe they did have plans at that point, but as you said, I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, but even if David Starr never came back. Even if he became a postman the next day and stopped wrestling, the work that the two boys were doing at that point was to build a moment at the end that made you either want to see it again or not see it again. And everyone is saying, kiss, kiss, kiss. So that this is part of my issue. And again, I'm not sitting in it, so I'm only watching it, and everything is very, very different. But when you do something like that, it negates the work that the lads did. I'm not saying you as in Ted, I'm saying you as in an audience.
Yeah. That's a fact.
It negates the work that the guys do. And and the work that the guys do, as I was saying to Ian earlier on, in my opinion, the work has never been stronger for the majority of the cases. And when people are saying things like kiss, kiss, kiss at the end of the match, they're doing it to get a giggle from people around them. They're not doing it because they were invested in the work the guys did. Or the girls did, whichever, it doesn't matter. That is a huge problem I have, and that is why people are trying to pop each other. They're trying to, get chants going that are just not a lot to do with what they're actually paying to watch.
Right.
And the action is going crowd to the ring instead of going the other way. And again, I'm an old man. So we've got to balance all this, and you've been far more mature than I expected anyone who's going to come on and talk to us. So I've got to say that up front. I'm from a different genre, a different age.
But you're not much further on than me. I think that might be the point. That's why I'm not so hot.
You sound a lot younger, so that's the main thing. You got a full head of hair from the sound of you. But the game has changed quite a bit. And I was saying earlier on, and let's see what you think about this. When I was growing up, and we're all growing up, but you know, you start off with Hulk Hogan training, say, I'm not talking about his personal life, that's his own business, but training, say your prayers, eat your vitamins and whatever it is, go get a tan and all that sort of shit he used to talk about. But he would overcome adversity through hard work, and that was a thing that I had in my childhood, as we all did. And then you roll forward to Bret Hart, not the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, I'm repeating myself, but he managed his way through massive obstacles. Beautiful. Into Steve Austin as a teenager, who was a godsend, gets you through tough times. So when you go to an OTT show now, and we keep talking about OTT again because they're the biggest show.
Yeah, they're the big dog in Ireland.
100%. And salute the work that they all do. But when you look at characters, and again, characters, not people. Sorry, Ted, but I have to say this all the time because I've been kicked off places before because people thought I was attacking people and not their characters. So you look at the Session Mod, you look at the lads from the flats, you look at, some of them are comedy, which is different. But if you look at those two characters, our group characters, there's nothing redeeming about them. Or no, question mark. There's nothing redeeming about a Session Mod or the lads from the flats. In real life, they're the people we try to avoid. And in real life, they should be heels. They should be on the other side of the tracks. I've been trying not to talk with stupid words like that, but they should be the people that you boo, you go against. You want to see the Session Mod beat up. You want to see the lads from the flat beat up. Because you know that in real life, a Session Mod is the person you avoid in the club, you avoid in the pub, you avoid wherever you see one. The lads from the flats are the guys you avoid wherever you see them because you're worried. Yet when you walk through the National Stadium or the KFR or whatever it is, or the Tivoli back in the day, they were the people treated as if they had redeemable qualities. And that was what started me on this road of what the hell is going on with Irish wrestling fans. What are your thoughts on their characters and the reactions they get from an audience?
Yeah, I do get where you're coming from on the fact that, you know, they should be, a lot of their qualities aren't redeeming, like, you know, they're drug users, they're scoundrels, thieves, all this sort of crack. But I think some of that had to do with who they were paired up against to begin with. You're paired up against Paul Tracy, whose entire thing, his character is that he's, you know,
a classy man. A classy man, law-abiding citizen. So sorry, I had to chime in there.
He lords it over everyone.
I still had to chime in.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, if you have to choose between the rich snobbish guy or the, okay, they're not the nicest people.
I choose the guy that's not going to rob me.
Which two would you, you know, which out of those two do you cheer? And the truth is that you would cheer on the underdog.
Lead me through this. So once the lads from the flats and Paul Tracy, that thing finished, where did they go after that? And have they been put up with someone with positive values? Like, as in, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, it always been either English fellas or Lord of the Manor?
They went up against Kings of the North,
yeah,
who, you know, they're the Northerners, they're the foreigners, the invaders. That's
yep.
their character. So
yep.
who are you going to cheer, the Northerners, or are you going to cheer the Irish-born boys?
The Northerners.
So is the conversation then in the stands, in the stadium, when there's thousands of people there, are you guys actually saying we're cheering these guys because they're Irish, or are you cheering them because we hate the other guys more?
I think that it started out as...
Good point.
You had to choose which one. And obviously they both portray what they want to be.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Manor wants to be the man. Like, you can cheer someone who's an aristocrat like that if they act a certain way. But obviously both people have their... They act their way, they portray their character as the good or the bad guy. And
yep.
at the start, the lads from the flats are portrayed as the good guys. So for quite a while, and then they're pitted against Papa Tracy, then they're pitted against the Kings of the North. And then you've built a rapport with them. And as you know, when you're a young child, you can end up becoming friends with anyone, you know, because you don't understand these social differences, these anomalies. And that person can grow up to be one of the worst people in the world, but if you stayed in contact with them and stayed friendly with them, then you will always remain friendly with them. And that, I think that kind of is what happened, that you already had a rapport built up with these guys, and therefore you continued to cheer them.
That all makes sense, and the storytelling that the guys have done, where they're putting the bad guys up against slightly worse guys, all it's beautiful storytelling and it's beautiful execution. The skill level is massive with the guys involved in what we're talking about here, and that's to be saluted as well. But if we break it all the way down, what we are saying is, and again, maybe I'm taking it too seriously, and maybe I need to switch to decaf here.
No, you're not.
But what
no,
we're
you're
saying
not.
Is,
no, you're not.
We hate this group of people slightly less than this group of people. And yes, okay, you know, we might get our picture taken with them. They're close. That's what wrestling is. Everyone is. It's a small circle. But what we're saying is, we don't necessarily like you, but we hate you less. And then that has become a like over time, which is, it's kind of like if you kidnap me and put me in a basement, eventually I'm going to love you, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually I'm going to love you. And that's psychological beauty and storytelling, and that's great. But I just mean, the question is really the conversation amongst you guys, the hardcore fans. Does anyone ever turn around and say, and we're only picking on Session Mats and Lads from the Flats as characters, but is anyone looking at this saying, these guys are dickheads? These guys are, there's nothing redeemable in this. But in this instance, I prefer this group over Kings from the North because I hate people from Northern Ireland, or I hate aristocrats or whatever. Is that conversation happening, or is it all just we're cheering for them because they're a bit of crack and we're not really thinking about real life, which is another problem as well, I think.
I think it's more that when you step in there to watch the show, that you do leave behind morals and you do leave behind certain values. Like, you
That's
can forget
evident.
About the fact that these guys... And again, I'm just going to do what you were saying. I don't want to say that these guys, because as personal people, are
100%.
Like,
don't worry, Ted, I'm a relative grown-up. I got you on that. I understand.
But that doesn't mean that everyone is. So I'll rephrase that. These characters,
oh, I love
that
it.
They are
I love
playing,
it.
They are scummy. They
yeah.
are scummy people. They are
yeah.
the dregs of society. They're like one of the first show I ever went to was the one where they did. They had people from Father Ted in, so they had Father Damo and stuff. And part of the Lads from Flats thing was that, you know, Worky is a drunk, he's a bum, so he gets tired in matches and he's like falling asleep. So they had to give him something from his bag to, you know, wake him up. We can all guess what that's meant to be.
Yeah.
And they give it to Father Damo and it's all this. And people, you know, if you're watching a lad and he's walking down the street and he's literally sniffing out of his hand, sniffing off his keys in broad daylight, yeah, you're going to avoid that guy. But you suspend that while you're in there to go, because, and this is a testament to the people themselves on how they portray their character. they make their character likable, even with these despicable and unlikable qualities. They make their characters likable.
In terms of, now again, this is a million years ago, and it's not really important. But I think the way I was trained or brought up or whatever, and even when you go to England or Australia or America or whatever, and you work, if anyone goes over the rail, security gets them. If anyone gets in the ring, you can do what you want with them. Now, that was what I was brought up on. So when you have those rules that everyone is aware of, then people react accordingly. Now, mat slapping, Ted, you've explained that, you know, every once in a while, once in a blue moon, emotion takes over. And that's the whole point of the entire show. Now, should you slap the mat? I don't think so. But if you're saying that's an emotional response and it happens, it shouldn't happen all the time, I'm on that canoe with you. I agree 100%. If it happens every show, it's about the fan.
Which it does.
It's not about what's in the ring. And this is my issue. If that was to happen, and again, it's not about, now that's what I call music 1998. It's not about that. It's just people knew what the story was. If you did that when, let's go to the top of the tree here. If back in the day, Balor was in the ring and you started slapping the mat, you wouldn't get your hand back.
No.
And that's it.
Fact.
Now, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy the show, but it just means, you know, you're in the seat. You are here to view the show, to enjoy the performance, or the whatever way you want to phrase it, whether you call it performance art or pro wrestling or sport, whatever. You're there to enjoy it.
It's a pro wrestling,
whatever
match.
Way you want to enjoy it. But if it's if you make it about you, that's where my problem is. And a lot of what you're telling me, Ted, is very sensible, very grown up, very of the real world. But it hasn't been my interaction. Now, again, this is 100%. I haven't been to an OTT show. I watch it. So all of my interactions have been online and the odd time in person. So what you're telling me, by and large, is something that I would agree with. But my issue is when we find, the only reason we find redeeming qualities in characters is because you hate the other character more. And if that happens enough, as we have agreed, it's a bit like Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs, you know, or the Polly by Nirvana, which is all about the, you know yourselves, the victim starts falling in love with the captor and trying to get out of it that way. That's what's happening. And if that's what we're saying is happening with these two characters that we've mentioned, I'm just slightly worried for the audience, if that's how they're reacting these people. Now, that's not always going to be the case. Eventually that trope isn't going to work. You put the lads up against someone who's more hateable, eventually it's going to turn around. Maybe it could be someone like a comedy character that everyone likes, the dick flip guy or whatever, and people are going to cheer for the dick flip over the lads from the flats, and then they become the heels where they should be. But up to this point, the OTT fans have been cheering because they hate the other people more, not because the good guy.
Boo Jordan Devlin.
I'll address just what Keigo said, and then I'll get on to Jordan.
I'll leave it to you.
Once I get into Jordan, we're starting a whole different
kettle. The floor is yours.
The thing with the lads, I don't want to keep harping about the lads from the flats, but like the lads from the flats, they were characters that were dislikable, and when they did start going up against other people, you had already got, you know, you'd already built a connection with them. And I don't think it is just that, you know, it's Stockholm Syndrome or whatever. I think there is likable qualities about those characters. You know, they're
10 minutes remaining in this bout. 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going old school there because it's 10 minutes remaining in this debate.
They don't take themselves overly serious. You know, they go in there and they're all about having fun and stuff. And like that are inherently likable, whether they're good for society or not. People like that are inherently likable. We never really got to see them turn to heels. I haven't really seen them on the show. And when they did come back, they had now brought Paddy M in. Mm-hmm. And
Paddy, the best to ever do it. Yeah,
that's a Paddy wants you to cheer him, you know, you're going to cheer him. But when Ian was saying, you know, he was brought up, you know, that the ring was sacred and stuff, that is a worker coming out and saying that. You have to remember that not everyone is a worker. Everyone, a lot of people there are just fans.
Well, Keigo's in the same boat. Keigo's in the same boat as me. Just for the record, that's what he was trying to say, in fairness.
All right, okay.
Yeah, like...
But for those fans, the ring isn't sacred. It is just... It's just an object that happens
But it's not.
Yeah. Slapping it is that big a deal to
For me.
But you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that if you went to the Christmas Panto and Twink was coming out of the sky as the fairy godmother. Twink would knock the bollocks off you. You know what I mean? You wouldn't go to a gig. If you get up on the stage at a gig, you will get murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. If you're getting into the ring or whatever, then you know, I still do believe you're fair game if you get involved.
Even if you put your hands on the ring, you deserve your fingers to be snapped off.
I think the idea of the slapping of the mat, there is something to that, that it's just, it's visceral.
It's a reaction. I don't disagree with you, whether it's right to do it or not.
I think is separate issue. Yes, I think years ago, yes, something would have been done about it, but I think people have grown to accept that.
Well, I don't think it should be accepted, and I think something should be done about it again, because it's
Well, obviously you can't put your hands on people, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, you can't take care of it. But Ted, I'll go with you on that journey, and I, you're saying it's an emotional visceral reaction, I'll go with you. We don't have emotional visceral reactions 4 times a night once a week at an OTC show. So
that is my point.
I think we're agreeing on that.
It's fine, but it is excessive.
I think we're agreeing, yeah.
Yeah, now to get onto the whole Jordan thing, right? Jordan was the face of OTT for a long, long time. And they have done a very good job, both himself...
And y'all sold them out! You sold them down to the river.
Angus, who does the commentary. Joe, who, you know, directs what the... Like, he obviously has an input on what they say and what they do. I'm not saying he tells them what to say, but he has an input on where he wants the characters to go. They have all put a lot of work into this, into making Jordan the bad guy here. And I understand why some people feel, well, he's not a bad guy, but this is how I felt having gone to shows. Now, David Starr and Walter have had countless matches, and David Starr has never beat them. David Starr turned heel by stopping Jordan from beating Walter. And everyone booed him for it, and everyone hated him. He's now the bad guy.
Yeah.
Jordan then gets signed to NXT. Brilliant. Delighted for him. And I don't think there's a single person out there... Well, I'd hope there's not a single Irish fan out there.
That's a good thing.
He deserves it. And who are we to judge whether you like WWE or not, the Saudi money, all this crack? That's him making a living, you know, and it's 100%. Making a living doing something he loves and something he's good at.
Damn straight, man. Damn straight. I love that kid. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, you're right. 100%.
Yeah. But he now can't commit to every OTT show. That is just the fact of life now. He's under a contract. He may have to work somewhere else. He may get pulled from a show.
So y'all turned on him.
No,
I'm calling you out now. Come on, Ted, break it out. Spit it out, my friend. You turned on him. You said, fuck it. He can't commit to us, so we're going to fucking tap the ring. We're going to do that little... We're going to do that.
Well, sorry to interrupt you there, Ted. Can I give you my theory on it? Because I agree with you nearly 100%. I think the way they've structured it, and this is kind of, you know, they've done it so well that I actually enjoy... the fan fiction end of things on this storyline in particular.
I agree.
The way they've framed the two characters is fantastic. Yeah. The way they've worked, the way they've run it, because I'm not wrestling terminology work, but with Jordan going and things like that, it's all beautiful, because where they can go from here is star eventually becomes David Koresh, as someone said online, and yeah. Jordan comes back and goes, he can either say, I'm here to save the day on a monthly basis or whatever, yeah. or he can turn around and say, you all turned your back on me, I'm joining them.
He can go to Bret Hart.
And that's storytelling, and we're moving on to kind of storytelling, which is slightly different, but the storytelling that has been in this particular story,
yeah, I agree.
In my mind is 100 years old, but it may not be, as you pointed out earlier on. I think it's really, really strong. Storylines, execution, interviews, everything has been perfect. So my point regarding Matt slapping and chance and kiss, and if we forget about that match, if you're saying that that's not part of this journey, that's fine. The Matt slapping should only be happening, and I can't tell anyone when to be emotional and when not to be emotional, but the payoff was Saturday.
Stay in your seat until Saturday. Yeah. Exactly. I think
we all agree that the payoff of this long-term story was Saturday.
Yeah, for sure.
That is the moment where you everything finishes, the arc is done. You have you slap your mask, you freak out, you're silent, you're whatever, when it's paid off, not when it's halfway through. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it would. So, the rest of what happened with Jordan and David Starr was, right, so obviously David Starr has become the heel from stopping Jordan from getting his victory. He's come out, he said all these things. Jordan is now less available. David Starr obviously has the weedy and independent move, which is, in itself, is actually brilliant. He's trying to get the fact that independent wrestlers can now have insurance.
Union and everything, yeah.
Unionized, and that's brilliant. But he uses that, so he uses something that's real life. Jordan signing for WWE and himself doing the Weezy Independent. He uses that to start saying, Jordan sold out. And nobody buys into it at the start. We're all like, nah, Jordan's still our boy. Where I think that the real turn Jordan came from was the previous OTT show in Tala, where David Starr was against Walter, a guy he'd never beaten, and it was well documented, and people kind of knew this is one of the last chances we'll ever see David Starr versus Walter again, because Walter's obviously signed his contract and he's gone over to work in the States with WWE rather than on the UK scene. Hmm. And Jordan, David Starr won that match. Right?
Nice.
And he wins the match. But what happens? Jordan comes out and he tells the referee he's cheated, and there's no video evidence, there's no nothing. It's just Jordan coming out, and the referee has just accepted what Jordan told him. That, I think, is where people start to turn on him, because they're like, whoa, hang on, we all wanted to see David Starr finally get... Because who doesn't want to be there when that history is made of David Starr finally getting that victory? And Jordan, by coming out and telling the ref, has stolen that from the fans.
Do you think now would be a good time to announce that... said referee is going to be on Dynamo's Dozen next week?
Yeah, well, I have some serious questions for him. Fucking cheating me out of David Starr's victory, right? Jordan has come out and cost the fans getting to see that. And then the next promotional video, we see Jordan say something. And I don't know it verbatim, but he says, you know, I hope David Starr does look the independents, because he's going to be on them for the rest of his life. Now, that is not something... that, you know, and yes, you can say Jordan's emotionally charged, him and David Starr have a rivalry, but that isn't something that you expect the good guy, the nice guy to say. That's shading towards being the bad guy, that, yeah, you're never going to make it to where I am.
Could I jump in there real quick, because I know I've got to jump off soon, but I think the way we're finishing this conversation, because
yeah.
Ted, I think you and I agree on some things, we'll disagree on some things. Same the three of us in
yeah,
various
I'm in agreement
in various
too,
ways.
Guys.
But the way
I'm
we way
too.
We are finishing this is about a story that we are all invested in, whether you go and physically sit in a seat and slap a mat, or you watch it online in your dressing gown in your underpants. We are covering all of those bases, and the point is that when it's done right, when wrestling is done right, you can get it right, and you can get everyone involved. And I think that's a beautiful thing for us to all agree on, because there is a lot of times where it goes wrong. It's a cabaret show. There's a bit of everything for everyone, whether you like dick flips or scientific wrestling or in between. There's something there for everyone. But in this OTT conversation we're having, we agree that there are unredeemable characters that get applause based on their opposition as opposed to themselves, and then you start enjoying the banter and the crack of this undesirable character, which is what undesirable characters do in real life. They get you on side, and then they snap something off you. And that's a beautiful part of the execution on Paddy and the guys, and that's what they do. Yeah. So we go from there. Session Mo, we've kind of left alone for fear of ridicule for attacking a woman, even though Session Mo is not a real thing. But anyway,
It just might not be one.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there you go. There you are, being the grown up again.
You said that.
And then we move over to the Star and Devlin thing, where we all have our theories, we all have our interest in it, and they got all of our money. So that's the whole point of this whole game. I think the reaction to the Star Devlin, who's up, who's down, who's the plus, who's the minus. You see it one way, I see it another way, Ian sees it another way. That's where the money is. That's where the beauty of the game is. And when you've got guys who are like Jordan's been doing it. It was a babysitting service for his parents when he was 12, all the way up to now.
Babysitting service for me as well.
He's paid more dues than anyone who's ever going to do it. But you've got him, and you've got David Starr, and in the background you've got my favorite, who is B Cool, who is my favorite. I'd buy everything he does. Amazing. I think the guy has been brilliant for years again, but he's kind of found him and Joe need to have their own Bad Boys film or something. It's fantastic.
Right.
But he's...
If they show everything he did at this show, you are going to love it, because the stuff that he does specifically was just...
Boo Jordan Devlin.
I'll address just what Keigo said, and then I'll get on to Jordan.
I'll leave it to you.
Once I get into Jordan, we're starting a whole different
kettle. The floor is yours.
The thing with the lads from, I don't want to keep harping about the lads from the flats, but lads from the flats, they were characters that were dislikable, and when they did start going up against other people, you had already got, you'd already built a connection with them. And I don't think it is just that, it's Stockholm Syndrome or whatever. I think there is likable qualities about those characters.
10 minutes remaining in this bout. 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going old school there, because it's 10 minutes remaining in this debate.
They don't have... they don't take themselves overly serious. They go in there and they're all about having fun and stuff. And
for
people
sure.
like that are inherently likable, whether they're good for society or not. People like that are inherently likable. We never really got to see them turn to heels. I haven't really seen them on the show. And when they did come back, they had now brought Paddy M in. Mm-hmm. And
Paddy, the best to ever do it. Yep.
Yeah, that's if Paddy wants you to cheer him, you're going to cheer him. But when Ian was saying, he was brought up, that the ring was sacred and stuff, that is a worker coming out and saying that. You have to remember that not everyone is a worker. A lot of people there are just fans.
Well, Keigo's in the same boat as me. Just for the record, that's what he was trying to say, in fairness.
The ring isn't sacred. It is just... It's just an object that happens
But it's not.
Yeah.
Slapping it is that big a deal to
For me.
But you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that if you went to the Christmas Panto and Twink was coming out of the sky as the fairy godmother. Twink would knock the bollocks off you. You know what I mean? You wouldn't go to a gig. If you get up on the stage at a gig, you will get murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. If you're getting into the ring or whatever, then I still do believe you're fair game. If you get involved,
even if you put your hands on the ring, you deserve ring. Your fingers to be snapped
but
off.
I think the idea of the slapping of the mat, there is something to that, that it's just, it's visceral.
It's a reaction.
I think years ago, yes, something would have been done about it, but I think people have grown to accept that.
Well, I don't think it should be accepted, and I think something should be done about it again, because it's
well. Obviously, you can't put your hands on people. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, you can't take care of it. But Ted, I'll go with you on that journey. And you're saying it's an emotional visceral reaction, I'll go with you. We don't have emotional visceral reactions 4 times a night, once a week at an OTC show.
That is my point.
I think we're agreeing on that.
It's fine, but it is excessive. Now, to get onto the whole Jordan thing, right? Jordan was the face of OTT for a long, long time. And they have done a very good job, both himself.
And y'all sold them out. You sold them down to the river.
Angus, who does the commentary. Joe, who, directs what the... He obviously has an input on what they say and what they do. I'm not saying he tells them what to say, but he has an input on where he wants the characters to go. They have all put a lot of work into this, into making Jordan the bad guy here. And I understand why some people feel, well, he's not a bad guy, but this is how I felt having gone to shows. Now, David Starr and Walter have had countless matches, and David Starr has never beat them. David Starr turned heel by stopping Jordan from beating Walter. And everyone booed him for it, and everyone hated him. He's now the bad guy.
Yeah.
Jordan then gets signed to NXT. Brilliant. Delighted for him. And I don't think there's a single person out there... Well, I'd hope there's not a single Irish fan out there.
That's a good thing.
He deserves it. And who are we to judge whether you like WWE or not, the Saudi money, all this crack? That's him making a living, and it's 100%. Making a living doing something he loves and something he's
damn straight, so man. Damn straight. I love that kid. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, you're right. 100%.
Yeah. But he now can't commit to every OTT show. That is just the fact of life now. He's under a contract. He may have to work somewhere else. He may get pulled from a show.
So y'all turned on him.
No, I'm calling you out now.
Come on, Ted. Break it out. Spit it out, my friend. You turned on him. You said, fuck it. He can't commit to us, so we're going to fucking tap the ring. We're going to do that little... We're going to do that.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Ted. Can I give you my theory on it? Because I agree with you nearly 100%. I think the way they've structured it, and this is kind of... they've done it so well that I actually enjoy... the fan fiction end of things on this storyline in particular.
I agree.
The way they've framed the two characters is fantastic. Yeah. The way they've the way they've run it, because I'm not wrestling terminology work, but with Jordan going and things like that, it's all beautiful because where they can go from here is. Star eventually becomes David Koresh, as someone said online, and Jordan comes back and goes, he can either say, I'm here to save the day on a monthly basis or whatever, or he can turn around and say, you all turned your back on me, I'm joining them.
He can go to Bret Hart, and that's storytelling.
And we're moving on to kind of storytelling, which is slightly different. But the storytelling that has been in this particular story, in my mind, is 100 years old. But it may not be, as you pointed out earlier on. I think it's really, really strong. Storylines, execution, interviews, everything has been perfect. So. My point regarding Matt slapping and chance and kiss, and if we forget about that match, if you're saying that that's not part of this journey, that's fine. The Matt slapping should only be happening, I can't tell anyone when to be emotional and when not to be emotional, but the payoff was Saturday.
Stay in your seat until Saturday. Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I think we all agree that the payoff of this long-term story was Saturday.
Yeah, for sure.
And that is the moment where you everything finishes, the arc is done. You slap your mask, you freak out, you're silent, you're whatever, when it's paid off, not when it's halfway through. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it would. So, the rest of what happened with Jordan and David Starr was, right, obviously David Starr has become the heel from stopping Jordan from getting his victory. He's come out, he said all these things. Jordan is now less available. David Starr obviously has the weedy and independent move, which is in itself is actually brilliant. He's trying to get the fact that independent wrestlers can now have insurance.
Union and everything, yeah.
Unionized, and that's brilliant. But he uses that. So he uses something that's real life. Jordan signing for WWE and himself doing the weedy independent. He uses that to start saying Jordan sold out. And nobody buys into it at the start. We're all like, nah, Jordan's still our boy. Jordan's still our boy. Where I think that the real turn Jordan came from was the previous OTT show in Tala, where David Starr was against Walter, a guy he'd never beaten, and it was well documented, and people kind of knew this is one of the last chances we'll ever see David Starr versus Walter again, because Walter's obviously signed his contract and he's gone over to work in the States with WWE rather than on the UK scene. And Jordan, David Starr won that match. Right? Nice. He beats and he wins the match. But what happens? Jordan comes out and he tells the referee he's cheated. And there's no video evidence, there's no nothing. It's just Jordan coming out, and the referee has just accepted what Jordan told him. That, I think, is where people start to turn on him, because they're like, whoa, hang on, we all wanted to see David Starr finally get... Because who doesn't want to be there when that history is made of David Starr finally getting that victory? And Jordan, by coming out and telling the ref, has stolen that from the fans.
Do you think now would be a good time to announce that said referee is going to be on Dynamo's Dozen next week?
Yeah, well, I have some serious questions for him. Fucking cheating me out of David Starr's victory, right? Jordan has come out and cost the fans getting to see that. And then the next promotional video, we see Jordan say something. And I don't know it verbatim, but he says, you know, I hope David Starr does look the independent, because he's going to be on them for the rest of his life. Now, that is not something that, you know, and yes, you can say Jordan's emotionally charged, him and David Starr have a rivalry, but that isn't something that you expect the good guy, the nice guy to say. That's shading towards being the bad guy, that, yeah, you're never going to make it to where I am.
Well, could I jump in there real quick, because I know I've got to jump off soon, but I think the way we're finishing this conversation, because Ted, I think you and I agree on some things, we'll disagree on some things, same with the three of us in various ways, but the way we're finishing this is about a story that we are all invested in, whether you go and physically sit in a seat and slap a mat, or you watch it online in your dressing gown and your underpants. We are covering all of those bases. And the point is that when it's done right, when wrestling is done right, you can get it right and you can get everyone involved. And I think that's a beautiful thing for us to all agree on, because there is a lot of times where it goes wrong. It's a cabaret show. There's a bit of everything for everyone, whether you like dick flips or scientific wrestling or in between. There's something there for everyone. But in this OTT conversation we're having, we agree that there are unredeemable characters that get applause based on their opposition as opposed to themselves, and then you start enjoying the banter and the crack of this undesirable character, which is what undesirable characters do in real life. They get you on side, and then they snap something off you. And that's a beautiful part of the execution on Paddy and the guys, and that's what they do. Yeah. So we go from there. Session Mo, we've kind of left alone for fear of ridicule for attacking a woman, even though Session mod is not a real thing. But anyway, but
well,
then we move from there.
Just might not be one.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
okay,
well,
there you go. There you go.
Listen,
there you are, being the grown-up again.
You said that, yeah.
And then we move over to the Star and Devlin thing, where we all have our theories, we all have our interest in it, and they got all of our money. So that's the whole point of this whole game. I think the reaction to the Star Devlin, who's up, who's down, who's the plus, who's the minus. You see it one way, I see it another way, Ian sees it another way. That's where the money is. That's where the beauty of the game is. And when you've got guys who are, like Jordan's been doing it, it was a babysitting service for his parents when he was 12,
it's
all the way up to now.
Babysitting service
he's paid more dues than anyone who's ever going to do it. But you've got him, and you've got David Starr, and in the background you've got my favourite, who is B Cool, who is my favourite. I'd buy everything he does. Amazing. I think the guy has been brilliant for years again, but he's kind of found him and Joe need to have their own Bad Boys film or something. It's fantastic.
Wait,
but he's
if they show everything he did at this show, you are going to love it, because the stuff that he does specifically was just unbelievable.
And simultaneously, Ian, just to, at the end of this conversation, I don't know if you guys can see me, but we have behaved like grown-ups, which is very strange for the wrestling industry.
It's amazing,
I appreciate you. Ted, great to talk to you, and I mean that legitimately. I appreciate you, and thank you for setting me straight on a few things, and hopefully we were able to bridge the generational gap of old man versus OTT supporter. Keep going, keep buying the tickets, buy the t-shirts, not the purple ones with the weird writing on it, and just keep enjoying it, and if you see bullshit, police it like you keep doing. I'll keep watching in my... Cheers to Ian, cheers to Ted. We had a grown-up conversation, which I didn't think was going to happen, so I salute everyone involved. I think it's really important important in this weird little thing that we are able to talk like grown-ups and understand each other, agree and disagree. So, underwear from my house, but either way, everyone gets our money. Let's keep enjoying this show. Let's keep enjoying what's happening.
And I will say,
wrestling alive.
100%, Ted, and it's up to you to police the mongs.
And I will say this, OTT needs to be a company that, you know, that's kept precious, because it is a great product. It's a great, look what it's done. You know what I mean? It's given people the opportunity, and is giving people the opportunity to elevate themselves. Every time they run, I mean, one of the biggest stories from the week was good old Katie Harvey coming back. We're not going to get into any kind of specifics and stuff, but for me, this has never been a knock on OTT. This has been a knock on some people that are going out of their way to be smarter than they are, I think. And what a great name for this show.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to challenge it, like add N Keegan on Twitter, thecouchbunnetireland@gmail.com. I would be delighted to talk to you. Ted has stood up for his congregation.
Yep.
He is the high priest of OTT, and I salute that.
So that is it for this week's episode of Dynamo's Dozen. I hope you did enjoy that quite fun debate with Keego and Ted, and I want to thank both of them individually for coming on to the show and doing this for the first time. Hopefully we can get some more live debate shows on. If you do want to come on, just join the mailing list, dynamosdozen@gmail.com. And until next week, it is time for me to say to you guys and gals, Dynamo is over and out.